This is Radio 2.
Hello, Cheeky.
Oh, well, hello, Cheeky.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Cheeky!
Hello, Cheeky.
Hey, up, Cheeky.
Hello. Hello.
What a funny way to make a living.
And our special studio guest today is Miss Enid Bolsover, newly crowned rupture appliance queen of Sunningdale. Good evening, Miss Bolsover.
Keep your hands to yourself. I don't want the same trouble I had with Eamon.
We'll be talking to her in a moment, but first over to Rory Snoot, who is talking to himself.
Hello, Rory. Oh, hello, Rory. What are you doing these days? I'm dribbling down my shirt front for charity. But, I don't want to talk about it. Oh, well, in that case, back to Methuselah.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, God.
Methuselah here.
God, you've aged.
I've just been to see Pajama Tops. It does that to everybody.
Oh. How old are you?
I'm as old as I feel.
Well, I refuse to feel you, so go back to Rory Snoot. Oh, who's gone home to change his shirt. So here, by courtesy of George Kappa Sanitary Engineers, is an awkward pause, which will be followed by a meanwhile.
Meanwhile, in a TV quiz game, just after Huey's cough.
Well, Mr. Cheevers, you're in the soundproof box, which is securely locked, so you have no means of getting out or communicating with anyone except me.
Yes, Huey.
So here is the jackpot question. How are you going to get out?
Hello?
George Kappa here. I didn't think much of that awkward pause we paid for.
It's all you're going to get. We haven't got
now,
time.
Watch it. Watch it. Any more of that, I'll come round there and rip your silent flush out.
Oh. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Due to a bad attack of cowardice, here is another awkward pause. thank you. And now... Oh. Hello?
That was better. Your silent flush can stay where it is. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
My Aunt Edith was executed in Hyderabad for making a curry.
What did she make it with?
My Uncle George.
Strange you should bring up that subject. After the show last week, my girlfriend insisted I took her to an Indian restaurant, most expensive meal I ever had.
Why?
It was in Bombay.
Oh. I don't like all that foreign muck. Give me a good old traditional British dish like Spam.
Spam's not British, it's American.
And well, it might be when you think what they're responsible for, bootlegging the Mafia, the Osmonds.
Dennis, don't do that when we're talking.
Don't talk to me about the Osmonds.
All right.
Osmonds? Osmonds? Nicked it all off the five Smith brothers.
Well, they can't talk. Pinched their act off Ann Ziegler and Webster Booth.
And they got it all from Little Titch. Oh, I loved his big boots.
Really?
Yeah. And I loved Vera Lynn sandals. Joseph Locke's plimsolls. And I got quite emotionally involved with a pair of carpet slippers that used to belong to Bob and Alf Pearson.
And they nicked their act from the Osmonds.
Isn't this where we came in?
Yeah. Let's try that door over there. Hmm.
Silence in court! Silence in court! The case of Wobble Snatch versus Wobble Snatch. Dobbin the Wonder Horse intervening. His Honour Justice Fingerstall presiding.
Thank you, Dorothy.
My lord, may I address the court?
You can take it out and post it for all I care.
Thank you, my lord, and may I compliment you on your sense of humour.
Yep.
This case concerns a dispute between Edgar and Salome Wobblesnatch, a theatrical couple who have been married for 30 years.
Guilty but insane.
I haven't finished yet, my lord. They toured recently as a pantomime horse, Dobbin by name. Recently, the marriage broke up when Mrs. Wobblesnatch discovered her husband in flagrante with a foot juggler.
In where, Mr. Blott?
Flagrante, my lord.
Is that near Doncaster?
No, my lord, it is not.
Oh, another illusion shattered.
A dispute has arisen over the ownership of the skin in which Mr. and Mrs. Wobblesnatch assume the personality of the aforementioned Dobbin.
My lad.
What is it, Fatty?
My lad, I'd like to enter a plea for relequat cum laudum.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just made it up.
I will not have this court reduced to the level of a common music hall and will now give you my rendition of Any Old Iron.
My lad, please.
Oh, all right. Please lend your little ear to my... I don't normally do requests, you know.
My lad, Mr. Wobblesnatch.
I don't know that one. How does it go?
My lad, Mr. Wobblesnatch portrayed the rear end of the horse and his wife the front.
Pretty tune, but I didn't think much of the words. What do you say, Mr. Belch?
I say I don't get enough lines in this sketch. Let's do another one.
Court adjourned to give Fatty Cryer some more lines.
...2.8 Second Theatre presents Cliff Richard, Des O'Connor and Jimmy Savile as the good, the bad and the ugly.
Bat Masterson?
Now it's my turn to bowl.
Never mind the jokes. I come to get you for what you done to my wife.
What did I do to your wife?
You brung her back.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it.
You look a right poo.
And with that, over to Haggis 12 Trees for a close of the day summary from St. Andrews. Well, Haggis, how were the greens today?
Delicious, but the potatoes were overcooked again.
No, the open.
Are they? Oh, well, I'll see you later. Goodbye.
Ah, well, in that case, is my dirty laundry. And in this case is a gramophone record of Barbara Streisand singing I've Got My Nose on You.
The other day I saw a baby smile, and life seemed so much better for a while. I saw a sunset from a nearby hill,
la, 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 la.
And I can say the memory's with me still. Don't give a monkey's. I'm a swine.
I've got my nose on you. I must have been in the loo when they wrote that bit.
Are you carping, Brooke Taylor?
That's the one.
Well, you can't carp here. It's a double yellow line.
I was just expressing a certain amount of dissatisfaction with my material.
I think it's a very pretty frock.
I'm going out in it tonight.
Where to?
The Odd Fellows Ball.
That figures.
I'm taking the family on a camping holiday this year.
Oh, yes?
Bought one of Mrs. Mill's old dresses. It accommodates all six of us and Rover.
That the dog?
No, the wife.
Why do you call your wife Rover?
Well, Fido's a silly name for a wife.
No, it isn't at all. My mother's name's Fido. I'll never forget my parents' wedding. The vicar said to her... do you, Fido, take this man? She had him out of the church and buried under a rose bush before you could say...
Encyclopedia of the Air, letter P.
Papier-mâché.
Papier-own-mâché.
I don't understand that.
It's all tied up with Barbara Streisand.
Please don't say that to a man in my condition.
Why, do you like Barbara Streisand?
No, but I'm mad about string. Oh, I once had a naughty weekend in Whitley Bay with a ball of thick twine. Oh, it wanted to marry me, but I refused to be tied down. Oh, death, where is thy string?
Oh, dear. Falling in love with string, the man's mad.
bar of soap. Now, that's different.
Oh, come on. Enough of these perversions. What this show needs is a bit of decent, straightforward culture. I shall now recite Keats' Ode to a Greek Urn.
Oh, poem to a Greek urn, if that's not perverted.
Oh, hadn't thought of that. Well, there's Ode to a Nightingale. Oh, that's worse. Oh, here we are. John had great big waterproof boots on. John had a great big waterproof hat.
Whoa!
The whole world's perverted! The whole world!
Later tonight, a programme to watch out for, The Rissole Hearty Show, with Rissole's guests. With Rissole's guests, a ball of string, a bar of soap, a nightingale in a waterproof hat, and a Greek urn.
What's a Greek urn?
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, yes, I would. Oh, what? I know no fear. I once went to a Dorothy Squires concert.
I once heard her singing at the London Palladium, you know. Mind you, I was in Birmingham.
What were you doing in Birmingham?
I was with Anne Aston, saying, up a bit, up a bit, left a bit.
Oh, you were on the Golden Shot.
No, I was with Anne Aston, saying, up a bit.
You bounder.
No, she doesn't go in for that sort of thing.
Steady on. Steady on. Bob Monkhouse is in the audience.
Can you see him?
No, but I can hear his pen scraping.
Let's give him a quick meanwhile to be going on with.
Meanwhile, in a supermarket.
Excuse me, miss. Have you got a frozen plate?
No, I always wear a long vest.
Tim?
Yes, Barry?
Switch on the telly.
Right.
Tell me, Anne, have you got a frozen place?
No, I always wear a long vest.
By God, that Monkhouse works fast. And while we're in a meanwhile mood...
Meanwhile, in a dentist's surgery, within spitting distance of the bowl.
Right, now, Mr. Budgeon, head back, open wide. Now, let's see. Yes, I'm afraid that filling's loose again.
My dentist's a swine.
How do you mean?
If you haven't paid your bill in 3 weeks, he comes round and sticks the teeth back in.
Hello, Cheeky's personal column. If you want to sell it, get in touch with us. If you want to give it away, see me after the show.
Well worth the trip. Man recently liberated by psychoanalysis wishes to meet tattoo artist who can change I Love Gladys to I Love Arthur.
For sale by Nicholas Parsons, copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People. Still in wrapper.
Comedian with... wishes to meet straight man with... object...
Why don't you advertise with us, the column Nelson uses when they're cleaning Trafalgar Square?
When they begin, the begin... I wish you wouldn't do the okey-cokey.
You put your left leg in, your left leg out, in, out, in, out, you shake it all about. Why don't you stir your tea with a spoon like everybody else?
Is this Hello Cheeky?
Yes.
Parcel for you.
Oh, thank you. Now, what's this?
What is it?
Sound effects record of a man unwrapping a parcel.
That's no use.
No, but I'm keeping the string!
Parcels remind me of Christmas when I was a kid.
Why?
My dad used to wrap me up and send me to Dr. Bernardo's.
Speaking of Ivy Benson's birthday, here's a little poem. I went out with a girl musician once, a rather homely miss.
But she used to play the valve trombone, and brother, could she kiss?
Who writes these trashy poems? They're absolute rubbish.
John Betjeman.
With a strange magical charm. Nice one, Sir John. Any chance of an OBE?
Well met, my lords. I give you all good day. Ho, Buckingham and Kent, Northumberland and York. Well met indeed, but stay. Where is Richmond?
District line change at Earl's Court.
Meanwhile, in a public library, very close to the librarian...
Excuse me, miss, where can I find romance?
Come back to my place after we've closed, baby.
Meanwhile, back at her place after they've closed...
I wouldn't do this for any man, you know.
Wouldn't you?
Not with cocoa at the price it is.
Oh, Delphine. Delphine, the time I've looked at you in that library and thought...
Oh! Oh, you want me?
No, I want a doctor. You've spilt the cocoa in me lap.
Oh, doctor, tell me, how is he?
I'm afraid he'll never play the violin again.
But he only spilt cocoa in his lap.
Yes, but they slammed the ambulance door on his fingers.
Worried about the ambulance door slamming on your fingers? Insure with Furtive Assurance. For a mere £40 a week, we will insure you against being kicked by a stag in the underground, stabbed by a Guatemalan midget in church, or being thrown by an untamed hamster. Remember the name, Furtive Assurance. Our motto, take the money and run.
Here's a little surprise for you chaps. I've been practicing this.
Did you spill cocoa in your lap as well?
And now for Mr. and Mrs. Leg Sakimbo of Maidstone. Here is the sole survivor of the Pompeii Choral Society singing There'll Be a Hot Time in the Old Town Tonight.
In Mexico, they tell a tale about a mystery man, a man who rode down from the hills. Some say his name was Dan, but all who suffered corns and bunions, verrucas or a hammer toe, all three the name they knew him by, they called him Kirapodo.
Oh, El Kirapodo, the man who cured the feet of Mexico.
Some say that Pancho Villa once was martyred to a corn, and El Quirapodo was called one hot and dusty morn. With tweezers and with plasters there, he labored till the sun was low. He put Pancho on his feet. Viva El Quirapodo.
Oh, El Quirapodo, the man who cured the feet of Mexico.
But now a hush has fallen through the land of Mexico. On each hacienda people talk in accents low. For Daniel the Bunyan Man has tended his final toe, and men sink to their knees and bless the name Quirapodo.
Oh, El Quirapodo, the man who cured the feet of Mexico. Oh, El Quirapodo, the man who cured the
man
feet.
Who cured the feet.
It's no good, it's no good.
I know, but it filled 2 minutes.
I mean that. I mean, I have a terrible time getting on with girls.
If you'll take a bit of advice, Baldy, You're too abrupt. What you should do is chat the girl up about art, good music, philosophy. Make her think you're interested in her mind, then gradually lead the conversation round. Then you'll be all right.
Oh, I must try that. Excuse me, miss.
What is it?
Have you ever visited the Egyptian room at the British Museum?
No.
Can I take your clothes off?
No, John! Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we tell a true story.
You're a liar.
That's true. A true story of one of the most courageous feats in the annals of humanity. Attempting to prove themselves, men have tackled the most incredible challenges, even trying to hold an intelligent conversation with Huey Green.
This is the story of one of the most amazing journeys ever undertaken. We present... They Dared to Cross Trafalgar Square.
On October the 1st, last year, two men, a girl, and someone we're not at all sure about, met in a cupboard in Fifth Street to discuss their impossible dream.
And then Bridget Bardot comes in stocking tops and throws Turkish Delight at me.
Not that dream.
Oh.
He's the one we're not too sure about. Oh, Turkish Delight. Oh.
Friend!
I don't care what you say, I think it's possible. Possible for a man to travel from Whitehall, clear across Trafalgar Square to the National Gallery and still remain alive.
Do you know what you're saying?
Yes, I'm saying that it's possible for a man...
Oh, no. I mean, are you really going to try it?
Yes. If you won't come with me, I'll go it alone.
I'll come with you, Cedric. For the honour of my family, the glory of my country, and any gash crumpet we meet on the way.
What about you, Fern?
I want to come with you.
What about you, Gavin?
I'm on.
Well, get off. Come on, the rest of you. We're going to buy our equipment. Good morning. I'd like to buy some equipment. We're going to cross Trafalgar Square.
What? Oh, may I shake your foot?
Why? Why my foot?
I'm lying down. It's my lunch hour.
We want four pairs of climbing boots, four anoraks, a tent, and a pair of pink panties with thanks for the memory embroidered on them.
For the lady?
No, and mind your own damn business. A packet of fish fingers and a bottle of Lucozade, and it's Trafalgar Square. Here we come.
Day one. Roped together with Cedric at our head, we stepped off the curb into the swirling traffic. Gavin's alpenstock caught in the grill of a number 9 bus, and we all finished up at Mortlake.
Day two. Having traversed the south face of the square, we had almost reached the foot of Nelson's Column when a heavy downpour of American tourists drove us back to the traffic island where we bedded down for the night.
You know, Cedric, what we need is a base camp.
Hello, saucy adventurer. Want to be naughty with the baritone?
Get off.
Day three. We knew we were making progress. At lunchtime, we spotted some pigeons, and they proceeded to do the same for us. Then we met a native.
Hello, dear. Like to have your picture taken with the birds?
Certainly.
Okay, everybody back to my place.
Day seven. Got back from his place. Oh, and began the ascent to the fountains. Suddenly, out of the mist.
Hello. Have you got a license for that yak?
Yes.
Is it a passenger-carrying yak or a goods-carrying yak?
Both.
Oh, a yak of all trades. I arrest you for having a rotten joke in your pocket. You three can go, but you other three come with me.
What other three? Oh, Fern, do your blouse up. Day 10. We continued on our arduous journey. It wasn't the same without Fern, but I was beginning to find Gavin strangely attractive. Suddenly.
Cedric!
Fern, what are you doing here?
I've been let out on bail to do a joke.
Oh, good.
Cedric!
What?
Look, there, towering against the sky. A massive obstacle we hadn't bargained for.
Good God.
Yes, Vanessa Redgrave. How can we get over her?
I don't know. I haven't got over Zazu Pitts yet.
She's making a speech.
Shall we climb her?
It'll be dangerous. Every time she opens her mouth, there's a heavy fall of rubbish. Day 15. We made a detour around Vanessa, which cost us precious time. The fish fingers were running low, tempers were running high, and Fairy's Choice was running in the 3:30 at Doncaster. So, over to John Rickman.
Good afternoon this fine morning. Well, here I am at Doncaster and Ascot, with the news for you that those of you watching in black and white will see that the favourite is the second from the left, and for those of you watching in colour, it's the same.
He tipped his hat, but it fell at the first fence.
Back in Trafalgar Square, with our strength and our jokes both failing, we set off on the last lap of our journey.
Get off my lap.
Sorry, Vanessa. Before us, across one stretch of the traffic-ridden road, lay our goal, the National Gallery.
Summoning our last reserves of strength, we launched ourselves forward.
Well, what happened?
We were run over by two poofs on a tandem and all killed.
All killed? Don't be silly. You're all living now, aren't you?
You call this living? Ta-da, Cheeky.
Bye-bye, Cheeky.
This programme was written and performed by John Junkin, Tim Brooke Taylor and Barry Cryer. The music was played by the Dennis King Trio. And the programme was produced by Bob Oliver Rogers.